You're storing memories to lose them again. You'll forget everything when this whole thing ends. You can't even predict what tomorrow brings. But don't lose track of living in the present.
Welcome to the Memory Distillery, everyone. I'm Anthony Vernari.
And I'm John Deck. And each week, we will malt, mash, ferment, and distill our way through the spirits of our past in the form of long-loved movies.
That's right. And this week, we're going to talk about a few movies. We would like to talk about Christmas movies. Now, we're doing this because, full disclosure, we just didn't have time to record a movie episode. But B, being that it's, you know, December, and it's Christmas and holidays and all that stuff, we figured, let's do something a little different. Let's talk about some of our favorite Christmas movies, maybe something that's near and dear to our hearts, maybe something that's a real classic, maybe something that's sort of an unknown. What's happening?
Christmas controversy mix-up.
What?
This is the part of the show where, unbeknownst to Anthony, I hop in and say, you know what? We've talked a lot about Christmas movies over the last couple of years, and that's great. We both have quite a few that we enjoy, and we've shared a lot with you. I did not come to this prepared with your typical Christmas fare. I'm taking a different angle on these things, and it might shake things up a bit. I just need to prepare everyone. If you want to risk it, keep listening. But otherwise, you know, just take off now while you still have your sanity.
Don't do that. Keep listening, please.
Okay. Well, either way. I think we talk a lot about, not we, but well, we do too, actually, because we can't avoid it. But a lot of people will go back and forth and, is this really a Christmas movie or not? And I decided to take it to the extreme. You know, what makes a Christmas movie? Does it even have to happen on Christmas? Who knows? And that's what I'm going to explore in the offerings that I bring today. How about I kick things off?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The first movie I'm bringing to the table for this holly jolly season of ours, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, okay.
So, checklist, you do have some great Christmas scene, or at least one, but like, you know, it's pointedly a part of the movie. It establishes some of the character, some of the loneliness, some of the things, you know, Harry being at school and Christmas going, like, all these things are happening. And in fact, you have Christmas come up in more than one movie. But here in the first one, it's when Harry's at his most vulnerable, and it's when he's first discovering the magic of Hogwarts and all. But it's like, there's that tie to the magic of Christmas.
Hmm.
And there's just something kind of cozy about that. And it's before you reach the scenes where, you know, you get into the heavier elements of what's really going on. It's still fanciful. It's still light. The whole movie pretty much is, for the most part, even the end scenes. And if you listeners to this podcast know, we did, in fact, go through all the Harry Potter movies one after another.
All 8 of them.
There was at least 10, I'm sure. Anyway.
It felt like that.
But this really, I thought, you know, what's going to capture the heart of a Christmas movie? Not just that happen to take place in or around Christmas, but I think there's something to be said in the heart of this. If you, dear listener, were to say, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is one of my favorite Christmas movies, I would not fault you. And so that's why I brought this as my first pick to volunteer something that isn't normally discussed on Christmas movie lists. At least we don't, you know, put it in that category. And I want to hear your take on that. Are you accepting?
You know, I'm thinking more and more about it. And first off, it's not the only Harry Potter movie with Christmas in it. If memory serves, all of them, with the exception of one of the last two, have a Christmassy type scene to them. So, And just given that there's a distinct element of that in each of the movies, I would go ahead and say, yeah, let's lump that into Christmas movies.
Huzzah! We have prevailed.
Well done. My first pick probably isn't quite as controversial.
All right.
And it's one that we haven't done on the show before, but I kind of want to at some point. It's The Ref. Hmm. With Dennis Leary and Kevin Spacey and a few others in that cast of characters. It takes place at Christmas. There's a very distinct Christmas theme to the whole thing, but the plot of the movie isn't Christmas. It's, you know, robbing people or robbing places. But I would go ahead and throw this into Christmas movies. What would you... Would you agree there? Would you have a hot take against that? Or
when you think of this movie, and not whether it's good or bad, but when you think of the heart of this movie, does it give you any good feelings?
You know, it kind of does.
Then it's a Christmas movie!
All right!
Oh, oh,
hell
oh.
Yeah. One for one.
Yeah, I'll take that. I think that's fine. Now, I do have to enter the segment of the show where we go off the rails a little bit. just kidding, that's all the time. the second movie I bring to you is absolutely a Christmas movie, okay?
Okay.
By any means. It's not one of these, oh, blah, 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 technically it's a Christmas movie. No, I mean, it's a Christmas movie. But I've never seen it.
Okay.
But I've just discovered it, and now I need to see it, but in an unprecedented first on this show. I'm going to talk about a movie I've never seen just to psych myself up and make sure that I'm guaranteed to watch it. Let me tell you this.
I'm on the edge of my seat here.
It's a movie that came out nigh 4 years ago. Not very old. So it wouldn't really make it into the rotation of our normal movies on our podcast anyway.
Sure.
It's rated R.
Okay.
It has horror elements to it.
You're drifting, but all right.
It has zombies.
Okay.
But it takes place during Christmas, and you have teenagers who have to overcome the zombie apocalypse with like zombie Santas and zombie elves and zombie all sorts of things.
And now you brought it around and now I want to see it. What is
but
this
wait,
movie?
There's more. It's
oh God.
It's also a musical.
What?
It's as far as I can tell, I've not seen it, mind you. I've seen the trailer for it. And I read a brief blurb and I'm like, I don't want to know anymore. I'm in. It's called Anna and the Apocalypse. No big names in it that the average person would even blink at. And apparently, it's a bit trippy. And I believe I'm all in for that. It doesn't have the highest IMDb rating in the world. I don't care. It's a musical.
This is the synopsis.
Yeah.
A zombie apocalypse threatens the sleepy town of Little Haven at Christmas, forcing Anna and her friends to fight, slash, and sing their way to survival, facing the undead in a desperate race to reach their loved ones. But they soon discover that no one is safe in this new world, and that with civilization falling apart around them, the only people they can truly rely on are each other. This sounds like a feel-good movie that I want to see.
I mean, you know, you do have some comic relief in this movie, I believe. Maybe some dialogue. Probably a lot of blood. But, you know, it's a zombie movie, and it's Christmas time, so...
Hey. Blood is red. What is one of the Christmas colors?
Green. So it's a perfect match.
Exactly.
So it's time we open our hearts, open our veins, open our entire...
Hey, listeners, real quick. I know John just said open your veins. Please don't do that.
Veins is slang for wallet. I'm surprised you didn't know that. So open your wallets and send money to the Memory Distillery. Merry Christmas. Now, getting...
Anchor.fm/memorydistillery/support.
Yeah. So Anna and the Apocalypse. I'm going to watch that tonight.
Where is that streaming right now?
I don't know. I'll find it somewhere. I'm sure I can. Okay. I'm a intuitive kind of guy. I don't know what that means. Anyway, so yeah, this is a one-time only deal of personally recommending and or bringing a movie to a discussion of which I've not seen it. But I'm confident, even if it's a bad movie, that somehow there could be something redeeming and wonderful and joyful to this Christmas movie. So the next time we meet, the next time we talk, maybe it's going to be to review an actual Christmas movie. Maybe it'll be something else. But I'm going to have to bring like a, you know, 60-second review of Anna and the Apocalypse. And if you see it too, we can do hot takes back and forth. But otherwise, I'll report back and see if this truly is a holiday Christmas movie for the ages.
I think I'm going to have to watch this too. This is too much. The movie poster has who I assume is the main character wearing a white button-up shirt and a tie, holding in her hand a candy cane, a giant candy cane that is sharpened into a stake.
Yeah, I used to do that as a kid all the time, so I can relate to what's going on in this movie. What are you bringing to the table for your second movie, Anthony?
Oh, man. Well, we were just all kinds of into this whole Anna and the Apocalypse thing. I didn't really get to even think of something, but if you have me, you know, up against the wall or, you know, my back against the ropes and you're telling me I have to pick something right now, I think what it's probably going to be is a movie called Jingle All the Way. with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he's trying to get a toy for his kid. This is the dumbest movie. It's Arnold and Sinbad. It's so dumb, and but it's so funny. It's at the same time, and like there's all these little endearing parts, and it's the struggle of parenthood, and trying to do right by your kid for Christmas, and you know, obviously it's like a capitalist hellscape, but it's. It's this movie where this guy is just trying to like do whatever he can to make his kid happy. And there's something about that I just love. And it's a fun movie to watch. And I heartily recommend it. You laughed when I said the words Jingle All the Way.
I did for a couple of reasons, but more importantly, before we get into what I think is humorous, I am gonna require a quote from that movie from you.
Oh man.
I'm going to require not a soundbite, not playing the original audio. I'm going to need you to perform for us. I'm going to need just a snippet, a tasty, delicious snippet of Arnold Schwarzenegger from Jingle All the Way. Can you do that for me? I'll give you a moment.
I can.
If you need a moment to collect yourself, that's okay.
No, I think I can. Put that cookie down now.
Wait a second. Was that a soundbite or was that you?
No, that was me.
That is amazing. Do you want to know why that quote in particular is hilarious?
Why?
Because, okay, as everyone probably knows, I have a thriving TikTok channel. You know that, right?
I do, yes.
So it's just funny that of all the quotes and everything from Jingle All the Way, Jingle All the Way, that's the name of it. A while back, I made a little TikTok video that stars a baby gorilla, and I have it synced up as though the baby gorilla is pounding on the glass, saying, put that cookie down now. And so it's just very funny to me that that's the line that you picked, and it's also at the height of my stardom on TikTok, at MBigginBTS. If you want to check out that BTS-centric TikTok channel, which is really worth its weight in gold, as everyone always tells me. But Jingle All the Way, I laughed because Arnold Schwarzenegger, like we've talked before, that I have a loving acceptance of his action movies from the 80s and bonded with my older brother watching said movies and,
sure.
And good stuff in there. And we on the show have reviewed and watched a few of those Arnold movies.
We sure have.
But when you get to Jingle All the Way, wait, is Phil Hartman in this too?
Oh, I think he is.
It's been, I saw it like once a long time ago. But I was going to say, the thing about it is that I almost have a fondness in my heart for this movie because of how out of place, clunky, and horrible it is, in a way that somehow manages to be harmlessly funny, but also undeniably horrible all at the same time. And again, just hearing that description of like, well, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Sinbad. And it's like, all you had to say on top of that is, in an arm wrestling match. But no, that's not, then that would have made perfect sense.
But there's 100 different ways to end that sentence. And none of them in your head, if you've never seen this movie before, none of those scenarios in your head for how that sentence is supposed to end is the right one.
That's true.
None of them. There's not a person in the universe who has never seen Jingle All the Way who would go, oh, I'm going to guess that if, okay, it's a movie with Arnold and Sinbad, obviously they're fighting like aliens or some shit. Mm-hmm. No, they are chasing down a toy.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have guessed it like on my fifth guess if I've never, you know, never haven't seen it before, but there's no way to prove it. So anyway, that's definitely a Christmas movie. It's undeniable as well. I mean, it is all about capitalism, and that's the biggest way to celebrate Christmas. So I'm all for it.
It's the reason for the season. Yep. John, what's your next one?
Now, my next one doesn't happen around Christmas. Doesn't happen on Christmas or around Christmas. But there is some snow in it. So the element of snow makes people
think. Are you about to go with a cocaine movie right now?
No, don't be crass. It's Christmas time. No, I'm gonna say I kind of went a little bit further than the way Christmas movies are normally defined, and I took it more at its heart. Like what Christmas movies in theory make you feel, or the messages they convey. And I went with a movie we've actually done on the Memory Distillery before, but I don't care because I'm bringing it back up in the context of my new wave definition of Christmas movies. And this movie is Groundhog Day.
Okay.
Groundhog Day, it embodies the heart and the elements of what people can't even get crammed into their stupid holiday Christmas movies that when they try. It's a movie that has heart. It's a movie that's about, you know, groundhogs, I think. Okay, I lied. This is the second movie I've never seen. No, I'm just kidding. No, but
that is absolutely not true.
But it really is a movie that when I want to cozy up and it's cold outside and put a movie on and feel good around the Christmas times, Groundhog Day just fits that bill in every way. And as you see Phil's journey through this movie, it has, like, I think it's A Wonderful Life, but better, you know, because it's actually a good movie. And
sick burn.
It's hilarious. Yeah, forget about that. We don't need to talk about that unless that's on your official list of five, and then it's acceptable. Otherwise, no way. So Groundhog Day, it's hilarious. It's amazing. It's a near perfect movie. Probably my favorite comedy of all time. And it really just brings home that holiday spirit. And there's snow at the end. So there you go. Does it pass the test? Do you agree? Do we honor this as a Christmas movie?
See, this one is, I got to dig a little deeper for this one. Like, I gave you Harry Potter because there was Christmas in Harry Potter. I don't know if I can actually give you this one. Here's what I'll say. I have a distinct memory of watching this movie probably 10 or 15 years ago and thinking to myself, what if this took place at Christmas instead of Groundhog Day? And I get why it didn't. Like, it's cliche, and you know, doing it as a Christmas movie is anybody could make a Christmas movie like Groundhog Day.
That's not true.
Well, okay, a lot of people could make that movie, but they went with some obscure non-holiday because reasons, and it doesn't sully the movie. If you make it at Christmas, I feel like it's a lesser movie. So, all of that to say, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you Groundhog Day.
Fireworks. All right. So what's your controversy? What's your hot take? What are you trying to slide through the censors this Christmas season?
My next one is also one that we've done on this show.
Ooh.
Fairly recently.
Jaws.
Nope. we only because we haven't done that one recently.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been right. No, my next movie, it doesn't take place at Christmas necessarily, but there are scenes that take place at Christmas, sort of scattered throughout. It's a repeating element throughout the movie. Catch Me If You Can, I think, is going to be my pick for controversial hot take. Oh no, he didn't. Christmas movie.
Give me a little bit more. Give me a little more flavor. Why?
Okay, because most of the development and interaction between the two characters of those guys.
See me and it, now.
Yep.
Is that the, I can't remember if that's no. Nope.
Yeah, that's now you're going with the wrong movie.
Oh.
But that's okay. But most of the interaction that takes place between this criminal and this FBI agent, and most of the growth and development that happens between the two of them takes place on Christmas days, where the criminal would call the FBI agent, and they would have a conversation, and it butted into something bigger later in the movie. Go back and listen to the episode if you want to know what. But there's growth and development and an eventual friendship that forms between these two individuals, and it all happens because of Christmas phone calls.
Can I make a confession?
Sure.
It took me way longer than it should have to realize that we were talking about the Tom Hanks and Leo DiCaprio movie. And I genuinely thought we were talking about the Jesse Eisenberg magic movie with Woody Harrelson and
the one that we haven't watched for the show.
Right. Even after you mentioned how it's one we watched for the show at least once, maybe twice, I still was racking my brain. And I got so distracted in trying to remember when have we done that movie? I don't think that I actually tuned out probably about a minute of what you just said because I was so distracted. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, so, and then I caught the end where you summarized.
That's amazing.
And so just by default, I feel like I have to give it to you.
Okay.
But I really do.
Fucking A.
I like how you tied it into those phone calls and like, yeah, I think it's out of left field. I think that's the heart of what this episode's about, pulling in an actual movie that has some Christmas ties and also has themes that feel connective about family. And like, these are traditional themes. This might actually be your best pick of the night just because
I gotta fucking follow my own pick with two more.
I know. Jesus. It's gonna be, you should have peaked with that one, but it's okay. I go downhill quickly.
What's your next pick, John?
Well, I'm doing this because my last pick is 100% a Christmas movie, and there's no denying it. I just have an opinion about it that might be interesting. But my next to last pick, the penultimate of my five, is a trilogy. Okay.
Oh, if it's the trilogy that I think it is, you're 100% spot on. It is a Christmas trilogy.
It's not, but that means you could swoop in with your own trilogy. Because there's no way you or most human beings would ever in a million years label this as having anything to do with Christmas in any way. But I being a human being made of stout stuff, walk right up to this microphone and lay out How to Train Your Dragon, the trilogy, as a as a Christmas time treat.
Okay.
You want?
I'm thinking back to How I Train Your Dragon, or How to Train Your Dragon. I'm trying to get more of an element than just there's snow because they're Vikings.
Right.
And I'm coming up short, so I'm going to need you to just feed me a little.
So, again, in all the Christmas chaos, there's stories of capitalism. There's stories of horrible guys carrying cue cards. There's stories of Hallmark small-town girls being wooed by unlikely urban professionals. There's all sorts of Christmas stories out there that are just horrible. But one of those things that are always continuously tried to pull together are these elements of warmth, of family, of seeing miracles happen, of seeing something that just transports you to a different realm, that takes you out of the mundane everyday life you have to experience because you need a job to pay the bills. What you need is Christmas to save you. And what is more Christmas than a boy and his dragon? Now, listen, I'm not done.
I'm not stopping you.
Hiccup. That's not, I'm not talking about the character. That was just how I sound when I hiccup.
Oh, interesting. Most people, it's not onomatopoeia for most people.
Laugh. No, that's a Muppet thing. Anyway.
Sneeze!
So hiccup.
Excuse me.
Hiccup's very essence of who he is as a character when you meet him. The awkwardness, the being an outcast, more or less, the being misunderstood, having a hard time communicating with his family, with his dad. Like, these are all tropes that almost feel lined up for a heartfelt Christmas special. And then you have his relationship with Toothless when he meets Toothless the Dragon Cat, that just accentuates, like, it might as well be a boy and a snowman or a girl and her reindeer. It could be any meeting up of traditional winter Christmas time, unlikely best friends having a magical time, and that's what happens. And as you progress, not just through one, not just through two, but through three surprisingly great movies, you have a continuing story and saga that keeps coming back to these themes of growing, who and what makes family, who and what defines who you are, where do you find love, like how do you get past murderous foes who want to kill your best friend, you know, typical Christmas things. And honestly, I think I just was trying to think of a movie, any movie that no one ever talks about being Christmas movie, that gives me actual feelings, like actual little bits of like zings inside of me. So I came to How to Train Your Dragon, and you know, I could see the controversy. I could see people saying that has nothing to do with Christmas, but what I've presented you is a steady, sturdy, wonderful case of why it is in fact a Christmas trilogy. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, I thought you would have quit a long time ago.
I mean, I did go and take a shit and came back.
Oh, well, you can't say that in a Christmas episode.
Oh, damn it. All right. Oh, I did go get some milk and cookies and come back. So. So I'm going to give it to you, but not because of anything that you just said.
Okay.
I'm going to cut all that out.
Fair.
I'm going to give it to you because Stoic the Vast is Santa Claus.
Okay.
And that's just a fact. That's a hard fact. You can't deny that. You can't.
I'm shocked and a little bit sad and that somehow that wasn't my leading statement because that really sells it, you know. And I just
it's the truest, like the most important bit of information there.
But could you do me a favor, and when you edit this, you could take out most of what I said, like take out like 45-50 minutes of it, but could you leave in about like maybe 3 or 4 minutes, just so there's some context that like I actually did talk, at least so I get some school credit and I pass the class.
I mean, yeah, okay. Like I'll leave out the racist stuff.
Right, leave out the racist stuff. I was going through a difficult time. That's not who I am.
That's right. Okay. So I was gonna say no, not because they're not great movies. I was surprisingly shocked by how good they are and how relatable these characters are, and I love it. I love this trilogy. So I am going to give it to you because of Stoic being Santa Claus. That's a giveaway. Cool. So I'm going to go with a trilogy as well, since we're going to bounce back and forth. This trilogy is one that I rewatch probably every 3 to 4 years, and I have to always do the extended cuts because, damn it, like there's just so much that didn't get into the theatrical cuts. So that being said, the trilogy that I'm going to go with is Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh. I thought that might be what you thought I was going to say.
That is, yes.
So tell me why. Why? That's my Christopher Walken in Lord of the Rings trilogy impersonation.
Oh, that's right. Who did he play again?
I think it was Gimli. Anyway, okay. Why?
Oh. No, the correct answer was Elrond. But
why is this the Christmas movie?
Okay, so take a seat.
Hold on.
Settle in.
Hold on.
Get yourself a snifter of brandy.
All right.
And a good pipe. And here is my dissertation on why this is a Christmas trilogy. There are elves in it.
Oh. And snow.
Now, did you hear that bump just now? That was the mic dropping.
Well, you didn't.
Because I dropped the mic.
The thing I like about you is your commitment. Because I am visualizing you standing, because I'm sure you were standing. You're not now, but you were a minute ago. You're standing in the room. You say there's elves in it. You drop the mic, and you instantly realize, I got to get down to where that mic is to continue this podcast. So you just fall flat on your stomach, and you're laying there on the ground now talking into the microphone because you're like, I don't want to cause too much extra noise by picking up the microphone and carrying it back up again, and that it would take away from the sanctity of the mic drop. So kudos to your Christmas trilogy as well as the commitment to the pratfall, just because no one saw it, but it was there and I liked it.
I put a lot of heart and soul into the things that I do for this show, and sometimes it means sacrificing my body, and I'm willing to do that for the integrity of this show. So you're welcome, America. John, what's your final pick?
Are you going to edit out that racist thing you said after the thing about America?
Well, of course. Okay.
My final pick is a controversial little movie that has been talked about a lot, about the very core of that argument of, is this a Christmas movie or not? And do you want to hear what movie it is?
100% I do.
Die Hard 2.
You. Oh. You almost got a you bastard from me.
Die Hard 2 is more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard.
Okay, I'm going to need a solid argument from you on this because
I'm prepared. I've come with my lobster bib.
And if your answer is there's snow in it, That's not good enough.
Okay, damn it. What about Elves? No, listen. I'm not saying Die Hard 2 is a better movie. It's a better Christmas movie. You want to know why?
I do want to know why.
Well, I mean, so do I. No. In Die Hard, people put so much effort into talking about how, well, it takes place at Christmas and Nakatomi Plaza, there's a tree and ho, 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 now I have a machine gun. These elements here and there. Undeniable. There are elements there. But once again, we circle back around and it's Christmas time. And so right off the bat, based upon the factors that everybody uses to define Die Hard as a Christmas movie, Die Hard 2 should be at least equal to the first movie in regards to its Christmassiness. Is that generally acceptable, do you say?
I suppose.
Well, let's just say it's somewhere in that vicinity. It most certainly does take place here at Christmas time. Right? That's undeniable. So,
yes, correct.
In Die Hard 2, in Die Hard, he kills a lot of terrorists with guns. Okay?
Amongst other ways,
but like, what's the most Christmassy way to kill a person? Stab him in the eye with an icicle. And this is something he does in Die Hard 2. So that's just one. That's just one point. So in Die Hard 2, Bruce Willis, in fact, does kill a bad guy with an icicle, which is so Christmassy. Also, everywhere, all around, there's a lot of Christmassy items. There's the shootouts with Christmas luggage and presents. People are carrying Christmas presents. Like, there's a emphasized, like, this is Christmas time. Like, this is going on. Like, so that's all in there. Number three, I got four things. So number three, we have a snowmobile shootout chase scene, which is not explicitly Christmas, but it's so much more Christmas than jumping off of a roof, because he didn't have any presents when he jumped off the roof or go through a chimney. He would have gone through a chimney if it was a Christmas movie, but in Die Hard 2, he rides a snowmobile, therefore more of a Christmas movie. And lastly, when we're thinking about Christmas, young children throughout the lands are taught fanciful tales of a fat man with a red suit who magically delivers presents around the world. It takes quite a bit of a leap of faith to believe in a Santa Claus type individual. You know, this is not your normal story. This is something where you go, what? That can't be. That's not a real thing. That's not true. And Die Hard 2 requires more of a leap of faith in believing that this is an actual story than the first Die Hard. So it's like that core, the suspension of disbelief that's wired into all of us as we go, Christmas elves making rocking horses? That doesn't sound right. Like that same core, that same thing inside of us is the same thing that goes, wait a second, there's an ejector pilot seat in this military cargo plane that doesn't even have a detachable cockpit? How does that work? Wait, they're throwing in 9 or 12 grenades into this cockpit of this airplane, but all of the grenades have a 30-second time delay? How does that work? No. Wait a second. It builds and it builds. And why do these grenades have the explosion radius of just bombs filled with 10 gallons of gasoline? That's not how grenades work, but that's how Christmas works. Things you don't expect come together and they all work out for the best. And so, Anthony, that is my treatise on Die Hard 2 being more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard.
Yeah, okay.
Yay!
I'll let you have that. I think you made a solid argument. I think the thesis committee is satisfied that you defended it well, and so I'm going to give it to you. Congratulations.
My proudest moment.
My final pick is a bit more obvious as a Christmas movie.
Is it Die Hard?
No, it's not.
Okay.
You know, you took all the wind out of that sail.
Yeah.
So I just spent the last 5 minutes scrambling to find another movie.
That was only 5 minutes.
I'm estimating it's much longer than that.
Yeah.
My final movie is one that ultimately culminates in both Christmas and New Year's. And a real great celebration of saving of the world. I'm talking about Ghostbusters 2.
Ah, I was thinking Independence Day, but now it's Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, Ghostbusters 2. It's a fine film. By the way, went and saw Ghostbusters Afterlife. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But it takes place in the wintertime. And there's some Christmassy stuff happening, and I think there's a Christmas tree in Venkman's apartment.
All four of the Ghostbusters wear Santa hats.
That they do. You're right. As they're leaving a job, they're carrying out the traps, and they have on Santa hats.
I mean, it's baked in there. There's no argument. That is the most Christmassy of all Christmas movies.
It's got Christmas ghosts in it. I mean, how do you beat
it's
that?
It's got Christmas right in the title.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an anagram. Ghostbusters 2. You rearrange the words.
Oh, you are so right.
Yeah, not a lot of people catch that, but it takes a little bit.
Well done.
All right, well, I think we succeeded with our list making, but you want to give us a 30-second review of the fifth Ghostbusters movie?
Sure. And this will be spoiler free. So it was a really nice fan service film. It ticks all the boxes that you want it to tick. It's a lot of fun. Paul Rudd still has not aged in the 30 years that I've been watching him make films. I'm pretty sure that the Stranger Things kid, Finn Wolfhard, who's also in this movie, is now older than Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I can't confirm that, but I kind of can. It's true.
When you said I kind of can, movie. It sounds like you said I candy cane, which makes it even more of a Christmas movie.
Even more Christmassy.
Oh.
No, it was lovely. I had a great time watching it. Go see it in theaters. This is one that I wanted to see in the theater for sure. I wouldn't wait for it to come out on streaming. Go mask up and go hang out in the movie theater for 90 minutes and enjoy this movie.
Cool. Well, we'll have to see at some future date if this makes it into any Roscoe type award worthiness.
Ooh,
or if it's
that
more
would be nice.
Middle of the road or not. Just a fun time. Well, That's not this week, though. This week was all about the Christmas movies.
That's our show, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to us each and every week as we distill another favorite from our past. We have new episodes most Mondays. Come and check us out on Apple and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Podcasts and what did I say last time? Pandora? Are we on Pandora now?
You know.
My producer's nodding and saying Pandora. So, yes. I'm sure we're there and other places. Also, head over to tmdpod.com. You can catch all of our episodes there as well. I mentioned it earlier, but if you do want to kick us a little Christmas scratch, anchor.fm/the memory distillery/support. You can support us by giving us your money. And we will do great things with it. So thanks in advance. John.
Yeah, so Anthony was saying Apple Podcasts, Stitchman.com.
That's the one.
Elephantsbandana.org. Lazyboyfurniture.gov. we're expanding is the point. We're everywhere. So be sure to check us out, because if you actually at lazyboy.gov, They have a really cool MIDI version of Destroying the Evidence by Semaphore that plays every time you visit the site, and every time you leave the site, it plays even louder. So
it's telling you to come back.
It's a nonstop loop. It's pretty crazy. So I don't know how easy it is to get government websites, but I really want lazyboy.gov now. I'll have to ask Justin McElroy if he can give me lessons on how to get that. You really can email us with any questions, comments, thoughts, or desires, hopefully tied in some tangential way to our podcast or movies or Christmas. Reach out at thememorydistillery@gmail.com or check us out on Facebook. Join the conversation there. It'll be a lot of fun. We've had a number of kind of weird off-the-cuff shows, had some chaotic holiday time, things just all over the place, but that's show business for you. And everyone always says it with the emphasis on show business. and we're just grateful that you guys are all around, and we'll have more fun to come. As always, we're super grateful for you guys listening and tuning in. I'm John Deck.
And I'm Anthony Veneri, and this has been The Memory Distillery.
Oh, I'm sorry, let me try that again. Oh, oh, oh.
Ooh, the second take's better. We'll go.
How about this one?
Oh, it's the Krampus.
The Krampus.